Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I had to clear my throat, dude. I don't have a cough button over here, and I was clearing my throat, and you're pointing at me.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is 749-1444.
But don't use it just yet.
No, don't, because we have a special guest on the telephone, the discoverer of Comet Shoemaker-Levy. Which number is it?
What number comet is that for you, David Levy?
It's the ninth short period comet, so it's called Shoemaker-Levy 9.
What the heck is a short period comet?
Oh, yeah. Well, a short period comet is a comet that orbits the sun in less than, say, a couple of hundred years. Like Halley's Comet is a short period comet, and Shoemaker-Levy 9 is also a short period comet.
As opposed to a long period comet or an exclamation point comet?
there are comets that come once and never come back. They're just going around in long, huge orbits that keep them away from the sun for millions of years. And others like one that I found a few years ago that comes back every 300 or 400 years, and that's a long period comet.
So the Shoemaker-Levy comet is, what's its path right now, and where is it heading?
Well, this comet is a real klutz of a comet. It doesn't know how to be a comet. You know, most comets orbit the sun, right?
Are you embarrassed that you named it after yourself then?
I beg your pardon?
Are you embarrassed that it now has your name, if it's such a klutz?
Not at all, because it's just like me. I'm a real, you know, this word in Yiddish, klutz, where you're tripping over everything. I'm just like that, so this comet is pretty much like me. First of all, most comets are supposed to orbit the sun. This one doesn't. This one instead is going around the planet Jupiter, and comets aren't normally supposed to do that. This one kind of forgot where it was headed, and instead of orbiting the sun, it started going around Jupiter. The other thing is that comets aren't supposed to split up into 20 pieces, which this one did a couple of years ago. And finally, as if it didn't have enough of Jupiter, it's heading back towards Jupiter now, and next month it's going to collide with it. And definitely that's a no-no for a comet.
How did it break up into a bunch of little pieces?
Well, this happened in July of 92, nice hot summer day, and this comet got closer and closer to Jupiter, and if you were standing on it, you would just see Jupiter's clouds get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then finally the comet would struggle to whip around Jupiter very quickly. It failed, and Jupiter's gravity just, like, reached out like a fist and just tore the comet apart, and it fell apart into 20 pieces.
How big are these pieces?
We're not sure. They're anywhere from about half a mile to maybe 3 miles wide. But even though the Hubble Space Telescope has examined them, we really aren't sure just how big they are.
So, and you believe that the comet is going to smash into Jupiter?
Well, it's not a belief. It's definite. There's no question that this comet can avoid it. It's happening. The first piece will hit on the 16th of July, and the last piece will hit on the 22nd of July. So we call it Impact Week in mid-July.
David, you're an amateur astronomer, correct?
Yes.
So that's why you're not Dr. Levy, you're just David?
One of the reasons. Yeah, all of my professional training is actually in English literature. I've never taken a course in astronomy before.
So how in the world do you go about discovering comets?
Well, it really involves nothing more than a lot of patience. I have a small telescope in my backyard that I just look through. It has a field of view about two moons across, about 1 degree across, and I just move it through the sky very deliberately and slowly until I see something that looks fuzzy, a little bit like an eraser mark on a blackboard. That usually is a galaxy or some other distant object, but if it's moving, it could be a comet. Now, we also comet hunt at Palomar Observatory, and there is a whole different kettle of fish. There we use a large telescope, and we use photography, and we take pictures of areas of the sky. And it is on two of those pictures we took in March, a year ago March, that we discovered Shoemaker-Levy 9. The comet's named after the three of us that found it, Jean and Carolyn Shoemaker and me.
Are those Shoemakers nice people?
Oh, they are fabulous. I have to tell you, they're just about the most wonderful people I've ever worked with.
Why do they insist on putting their name first on the comet?
Oh, well, you see, we don't name the comet. The comet is named by a group of people in Boston, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. And comets are named after the discoverers, and in this case, the team of Shoemakers and Levy. So the comet was named Shoemaker-Levy.
Do you have to discover the comet to get it named after you, or can you, like, buy a comet? Like, if you discover one, can Rob and I buy it off you and have you name it after us?
Well, you know, that's something I hadn't thought of before, and some days when my writing income isn't strong enough, maybe we should talk about that. But seriously, that it really doesn't work that way. Comet names are, it's a tradition that goes back over 200 years. The first person who hunted for comets as a deliberate program was someone from France named Charles Messier. He found his first comet in 1760. He no longer searches for comets now. He plays for the Rangers, the New York Rangers.
Mark Messier.
Yeah. And, he sure did a good job on taking the cup away from Canada this year, didn't he?
Did that break your heart, being a Canuck?
Oh, yeah, I hated that. In fact, the funny thing, I was giving a lecture that night, and guess where I was talking? I was in Vancouver.
Oh, no.
And my talk started as soon as the game ended, and here everybody was sitting there waiting for my talk to start, and we're all watching the game on widescreen television.
Let's get back for a minute to Shoemaker Levy number 9. What's going to happen when this thing plunges into the Jovian atmosphere? And I take it that some of these American spacecraft like the Galileo or the Hubble might be looking at it.
Yes, that's true. The Galileo spacecraft is perfectly positioned. It can see part of Jupiter that we cannot from Earth, and it will see the part that the comets are going to be hitting on. And that's a real stroke of luck, because now we are going to get images that we're going to get in the days and weeks after the impacts that are going to actually show these comets as they're colliding with Jupiter. We've never seen that before. We've never seen that happen before. Here we've been on this Earth, you know, what, several million years, and we've never, ever seen a comet hit a planet. It's a very major event. We don't know what's going to happen. Possibility one, absolutely nothing. The comets will hit Jupiter, Jupiter will go gloop, and they'll disappear forever. Possibility two, they'll be like a big meteor shower that Galileo will see. Possibility three, they'll penetrate through the atmosphere, there'll be a big explosion and a plume of material, and then the Hubble Space Telescope and telescopes on the ground might be able to see that.
Can people see it from Earth with perhaps a image isolator and intensifier?
Only if it's attached to a big, big telescope. I don't think this is the kind of thing that you can look at with binoculars or a small telescope and see anything happening. However, I would recommend that if you have a telescope or if you have a pair of binoculars, you should be out there during impact week in July looking at Jupiter, and then go inside and watch the real images from Hubble Space Telescope on the television set. This will give you a real chance to be a part of this thing and to go outside and look up at Jupiter and say, gosh, Jupiter, you are having one heck of a week, aren't you? This is something that we think happens on Jupiter maybe once a thousand years.
Do you often talk to the planets?
No, I don't really talk to them, except when I'm really lonely. Then I talk to comets. How could you ask if I talk to planets? I only talk to comets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Comets get jealous. So they're going to send these pictures back live on cable TV or something, huh?
We as live as they can get. The Hubble telescope will take pictures, send them down to Earth, and then they'll be broadcast pretty fast, I think. Certainly within a day.
Do you have a master's degree in English?
Yes.
Do you think there's more than one Shakespeare? Or do you think one guy wrote all those books and plays?
You know, I wonder what Shakespeare would have done if he had a laptop and if he could sit on an airplane. I do most of my writing when I'm on airplanes, and, you know, I'm going to be flying to Cleveland in a couple of days, and I'm writing a book now on this comet, on Shoemaker-Levy 9, and so far all of the work on this book I've done on airplanes.
I bet you're hoping it's a pretty spectacular collision so you can make more money off your book.
Well, usually science books do not make their authors very rich, and and advice I'd give to an aspiring science writer is don't quit your day job just yet.
Since you're kind of a literary kind of guy, do you have a favorite quotation or a favorite historical saying?
Yeah, I sure do. This is from a book that really got me started in comet hunting. It's by Leslie Peltier, and he's from your state in Ohio.
All right. Who's Leslie Peltier?
Peltier. He lived his entire life in Delphus, Ohio. And he writes about comets. He says, time has not lessened the age-old allure of the comets. In some ways, their mystery has only deepened with the years. At each return, a comet brings with it the questions which were asked when it was here before. And as it rounds the sun and backs away, it leaves behind with us those questions still unanswered. I think it's a beautiful little quote of his, but I hope that in the death of Shoemaker Levy 9, we might actually be able to answer some of those questions.
All right, so after this comet hits Jupiter, you write your book, you make your millions. What next? What are you going to look for next?
Well, I want to find one new comet. I found one on April 15th this year from my own backyard. It was found by me and independently by an amateur astronomer from Japan. And it's actually a much brighter comet right now.
The Takamazawa?
Pardon me?
The Takamazawa?
How'd you get that? Yes, Takamazawa Levy.
I keep up on this kind of stuff, Dave.
Wow, yes. That's right. The name of it was Takamazawa Levy.
Now, how did this Japanese guy get ahead of you? I can understand the shoemakers are your friends, but you don't know this Takamazawa guy from Francis Bacon.
That's right. And what happened was that he took the photograph... A photograph of the comet.
Okay, if he's a Japanese guy, you're damn right he took a photo of it.
Yeah, he took
more than one.
He took it the day before I found it visually. I was just looking through my telescope, comet hunting. I found it visually. I reported it first. About 20 minutes after I reported it, he reported his picture from the day before. And so since he was the first to take the photograph, they gave him the first name.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Could you do us a favor?
Sure.
If you're ever out in your backyard on a Tuesday night about 2:33 o'clock and you discover a comet, will you call us first?
That would be interesting.
We have the Chris and Robin Levy comet.
Yeah. Thanks.
Will you do that?
Well, I'll try.
The number is 513-749-1444.
1444.
Mm-hmm.
So how many books have you written? The Sky, A User's Guide. What's that one all about?
That one is a guide to observing the sky. It's kind of meant for someone if you've just joined an astronomy club or you've just gone to that beautiful, beautiful planetarium and museum in Cincinnati made out of the old railway station. That's just a fabulous place. And you want to get into astronomy, but you don't know what to observe. That is a book I wrote for that purpose.
So that one's written for the lay person.
Oh, yes. It's written, all the books I write are for people that have a lively interest, but not a whole lot of knowledge.
And observing variable stars?
Observing variable stars. Variable stars are stars that change in brightness from night to night or week to week. And I wrote a book about how to observe those.
A whole book about that? How big is this book?
Pardon me?
How big is this book?
It's actually about 200 pages.
Pictures?
There are a few pictures, lots of diagrams and stuff.
Any like 3D stuff? Any pop-up stuff?
Holograms.
No pop-up stuff.
What about holograms?
That would be nice to have in a book on variable stars. We'll have a variable hologram.
The Man Who Sold the Milky Way.
Oh, that's a biography that I wrote of a man, an astronomer named Bart Bok. The professional astronomers really thought he was one of the greatest astronomers of the century, but what I really liked about him was the public talks he always gave about his beloved Milky Way. He spent his whole life studying the Milky Way and loved to give talks on it. I think that's what he's best known for.
And you're working on a new one called Skywatching?
Skywatching, yeah. It's coming out in July 1st. It's going to be available at Nature Company stores, if I'm allowed to say that.
No, you're not.
Uh-oh. I won't say it then.
Okay, you can say it.
I don't have a problem with it, do you?
No, okay, I guess not. Well, if you ever think about writing a book about a couple of late-night talk show hosts, I think we know a couple of good subjects for you.
So now we get a 10% discount at the Nature Store, don't we?
Maybe.
Can you swing us a 10% discount, maybe?
So you can go in there and get one of those skeleton dinosaurs and pick up your new book?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of color and more than 1,000 color plates and diagrams in it and stuff.
Well, David Levy, we hate to keep you away from your telescope. We'll let you get back to observing the night sky and the world. Thanks you for discovering your comet.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling.
And when's the impact date? When's impact week?
Yeah, we want our audience to write it down on their calendars.
Yeah, July 16th to July 22nd.
Just look for Jupiter and watch the fireworks explode.
Well, no, those are a bunch of days. When exactly is it going to happen?
The first one occurs on on July 16th at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Cincinnati time. I'm not exactly sure of that offhand, but it's something like that.
Where will Jupiter be in the sky that week?
Jupiter will be in the high in the western sky after sunset. Just look up in the southwest, and you should be able to see it. It should stay up for a couple of hours after dark.
What are the chances that Jupiter will explode?
None whatsoever. You
Darn.
Know what it's like? It's as if you're riding your bicycle, and you get stung by 21 mosquitoes. You're not going to fall off your bike. You're not going to change your path, but you might get a little angry, and that's what we think Jupiter might
do. How about this scenario? One of these things smashes into Jupiter, and some amino acids and proteins are formed. Next thing you know, you got life, and then there's a big war between the Jupiterians and the Earthlings. What's the chances of that happening?
That's a really interesting scenario. You know, I hadn't thought of that.
Wow.
But comets have had in the past. In fact, there's a very well-substantiated theory that comets hitting the Earth brought the seeds of life here a long, long time ago.
That's what I was referring to.
So that's quite possible.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to your telescope and quit asking you silly questions.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Comet Hunter David Levy.
749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number here is 749-1444. If you just tuned in, we just got done talking a little bit about comets, in particular the Shoemaker-Levy that was going to smack into Jupiter.
It's going to.
I was pretending like it already happened.
July 16th.
Yeah, you got your mouth full of something.
My tongue, baby, and teeth.
Didn't your mama never tell you not to talk with your mouth full unless you're eating pizza from No Anchovies, the best pie in Queen City?
Right next to the dirty movie theater on Ludlow.
Check it out. Hello, John Schwarr. You're on the phone on line one.
Well, good evening, guys. How's it going?
John, you work down at the Cincinnati Planetarium, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You were on the show a few weeks ago. Remind us, what is it that you do down there?
Well, I'm the manager.
You're the big shot.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think about this comet, Shoemaker-Levy number 9? It's going to smack into Jupiter on July.
This is a big deal.
A big deal?
Real big deal. Doesn't happen every day, you know.
Jupiter might explode, I heard.
Oh, no. Now, you're talking about 20 pieces no bigger than a mile or two, like David said, compared to a planet that's 142,000 miles wide.
But you just said this was a really big deal.
Well, it is a big deal.
All right, John, consider this, will you, for a moment?
Sure.
Let's say that one of those pieces that is anywhere from a half a mile to 2 miles wide has a razor-sharp tip. It's forged from the heat of passing through the atmosphere of Jupiter, and it has a razor-sharp tip, and it shoves itself right into Jupiter, and then another one of those big comets hits right behind it, bam, and it just splits it wide open like a big cantaloupe. Then what will you think, Mr. Hotshot Astronomer?
I don't think that's gonna happen.
No,
You have to understand, guys, that this is a real small little, it's sort of like taking a BB gun and shooting it at Riverfront Coliseum. I don't think that much is going to happen.
It's like if you're riding your bike and you get stung by 20 mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's a big deal because we don't see a comet hit any planet or anything else now and then. And but there are clues this happened in the past.
Oh.
Back when Voyager flew by Jupiter, he got a lot of shots of the four biggest moons, Io, Callisto, Ganymede, and Europa. And a couple of these moons have these nice long craters in a row,
mm-hmm.
like a comet got captured by Jupiter before, but instead of hitting Jupiter, it crashed in one of the moons, leaving these nice straight in a row of craters. So people think that it could have happened before.
Hmm. Is Jupiter one of those planets that's actually like a solid kind of rock, or is it one of those gaseous things?
Well, Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system, and it's just a huge ball of gas.
It's kind of goopy in the middle, I heard.
It could be. No one really knows what's inside the middle. Some people think it might be...
Nougat.
Nougat, yeah. Yes. Chocolate nougat. There you go. Maybe even peanut. Who knows? We can guess, but we really don't know for sure.
So what's the best guess we got right now?
Well, most people think there might be a very small rocky center surrounded by the gas that's compressed so tightly it actually forms a liquid so much. Sort of like...
Kind of like a big jelly kind of ocean.
Yeah,
ocean
in fact,
jelly.
A couple of the... there have been a lot of scientists working with their Cray supercomputers trying to figure out what's really going to happen and what's it going to look like. And one of the models, which came from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT for short, thinks that as these pieces hit Jupiter, Jupiter is going to kind of like bounce like a huge thing of jello or something. Or like a rock being dropped into a puddle. You'll see all these different waves.
Like somebody punching me in the stomach.
Well, or me, for that matter.
Hey, so
cool.
Hey, next time you're talking to MIT, tell them about the Chris and Rob Jupiter splitting open like a grapefruit theory.
Oh, I'll be sure to pass that on to them. No sweat.
So you work down at the Cincinnati Planetarium. What are you guys planning on doing around June 16th through the 20th to celebrate this major catastrophic cosmic collision?
Well, let's see. Last Friday, we had a presentation about the comet. We got videos. The week of the 16th to the 22nd in July, we're going to have telescopes set up during the week and in the evening to see if we can find anything, and let the public take a look and see what might happen.
Is it free?
Oh, yeah, it's free.
Well, how do you get there, then?
Well, we're at the old Museum of Natural History location on Gilbert Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Take exit 20571, look for the woolly mammoths, and that's where we're at.
That's where they got that big elephant. They got a castle there, too, right?
Yeah, there's the old water pumping station. It looks like a huge castle out front.
So how many comets have you discovered, John?
Oh, I've discovered none. I've seen a few, and I've been watching this one of David's. I met David 4 years ago at the Texas Star Party, one of the big amateur astronomer gatherings.
It
was
what?
Like
the
two
Texas...
days after he discovered his fifth comet visually, and he's up to nine now.
Wait a minute, slow down, John. Let's get back to that big Texas Star Party.
It was like Tanya Tucker there and Waylon Jennings and all those?
It's held this little... It's out in the middle of nowhere. The biggest city is like El Paso, and it's like 300 miles away. It's up in the Davis Mountains. It's not far from McDonald Observatory, the big telescope run by the University of Texas. And
so
it's
did you so and David
black.
Get loaded together?
Huh?
Did you and David get loaded together?
We had a few beers, yeah, I can say that.
Lone Star?
Oh, yeah. Never again, though.
Skunked,
jeez.
Huh?
Anyway, the sky is... There's no big cities. The sky is so dark. It's a great place to look at the universe. In fact, it was during that star party that amateurs got their first look at what they call a gravitational lens, where the light of a distant galaxy is bent by a galaxy closer to us. Which is that was a pretty big first.
Doesn't that prove one of Einstein's theories?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Boy, you're smart, Rob.
Thanks. Are you an amateur or a pro?
I'm an amateur.
I thought you worked at a planetarium for a living.
Well, I manage the planetarium, but astronomy is a hobby.
He's the guy that charges you $3 to get in.
Yeah.
Oh. Those are the kind of things you do, is you like set ticket prices and...
I help keep the place and do the shows for him, but astronomy for me is a hobby. That's how I got started this whole planetarium business. Suddenly was an interest, and I started studying about it and started working for the museum.
Wow.
Cool.
Do you think someday maybe you can get David to write a book about your life, like at Bart Bach?
Wow, I don't know. Bart Bach's a pretty important guy. But David did mention somebody which no one knows around here, and that is Ohio's best-known astronomer, and that was Leslie Peltier. He lived just north on 75 in Delphos.
He's dead now.
Well, yeah, he's 14 years he's been dead.
Yeah,
but
tragic.
He discovered 12 comets by himself using just a telescope in his eye, and he did make 142,000 observations of those variable stars that we're talking about. So,
was he an amateur or a pro?
He was an amateur. He was a farmer professionally. That night he'd go out and get up and look at the sky and look at variable stars and all that.
I wonder if he knew Millard P. Fillmore.
He might. He's a famous character in the middle
of the world. Well, he was born in 1900. Maybe.
Okay.
So when you astronomers are looking up all the time, night after night, hour after hour, you're looking up more than you're looking down, and all the chemicals in your brain start to go to the back of your head, how does that affect your personalities?
Well, doesn't affect me too much. Some other people it might.
I'll have to get with one of our psychologists.
Oh, yeah. Check it out for sure,
here.
Yeah.
Help me out with that. All right, well, thanks a lot, John.
Hey, good talking to you guys.
Keep tuned in, and if you got any other ideas for us, like always, feel free to give us a call.
When's those laser shows?
Well, laser shows are Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
And we've got Doors, Pink Floyd.
White Fang?
No, yeah.
All the kids are in the White Fang, I heard.
Hope for Metallica, though, I hear.
Metallica's the next big thing. You know they're playing the new Woodstock.
Yeah, but black lasers won't show up too good, would they?
We'll just use a lot of fog, that's all.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Have a wonderful evening, and tell all your friends about us.
You got it.
Ciao.
See you guys.
Later.
Oh, that means we got a couple lines open here. 749-1444 is the phone number.
The stars are not only in the skies, they're on the phone lines at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Hey, that's a good. We'll have to use
that. Hope
we
are rolling
today on
tape. Yeah, 749-1444 is the phone number at Chris and Rob. We're talking about a comet smacking into Jupiter. Although we realize the mentality of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show listening audience.
Hey,
don't insult them. Anyway. I'm not insulting them. I am just saying.
Parents,
no.
Right?
Our audience has such a wide-ranging scope of interest that maybe they don't want to talk about comets all night long. So if you want to make it open, if you want to talk about something else, you know Chris and Rob can hang with any way you want to take the discussion.
Anything,
John. Anything.
How about anal sex?
We've covered that many a times. We'll do it again.
All right. Why the hell doesn't women like to have anal sex?
Well, because it hurts. 749-1444, if there's any other questions we can answer for you, we'd be happy to. Because Rob and I are your answer guys.
Yeah.
We're your radio pals, too. My gosh, you get a world-famous astronomer in here, and some guy calls and asks you about anal sex.
You make that Uranus thing? They make the Uranus joke? You don't make a Uranus joke?
Well, I'll see if I can think of one.
I think we just made one. We don't need to think of one. Yeah. 749-1444 is the phone. So how you been, Chris? We didn't even do any of that how you been, how your week's been kind of stuff.
I've been fantastic. I feel like $1.5 million. How have you been?
I've been pretty good.
Rob, do you have any favorite quotations in your life?
He is like a fish in the moonlight. He both sparkles and stinks.
Who wrote that?
I think John Randolph from Virginia said it. I think about Henry Clay.
Wow.
Trixie, you're on with Chris and Rob.
Hello.
Hi, Trixie.
I think I screwed that
up,
but don't worry about it.
I just want to hear about your comet.
Well, you just heard all about it. It's going to smack into Jupiter. Whoop-de-doo.
Hmm?
You got any favorite quotations you'd like to pass along?
No, sorry.
Okay.
July 16th through the 22nd is Impact Week.
Ugh.
I think maybe we should get McAlpin's and Sears. We should get Sears and all those to have an Impact Week sale. You know, like they have back-to-school sale. They could have Impact sale.
Trixie! What in the world are you doing up this late?
I'm an insomniac.
Well, that makes up a good majority of our listening percentile.
Yeah, well, on the weekends I go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I'm used to staying up this late.
Oh, that's cool. What's your favorite part?
Magenta.
Mine, too.
She's the chick with the gold hat?
No, that's Columbia.
Oh. Do you throw rice at the movie screen?
No, you're not allowed.
Playing cards? What about playing cards?
Well, the one I go up to, you're not allowed to.
What about newspapers? Can you bring a newspaper in?
Yes, you can.
Can you take your shirt off and just wear your bra?
Yes.
Cool.
Can you take your bra off and show your boobs?
No. We'd prefer that you wouldn't.
Oh.
How come they don't let you throw rice? I mean, that seems to be kind of going against the tradition of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What's the other one? Toilet paper. Don't you throw toilet paper?
Yes, when Brad Majors yells, "Great Scott, you throw toilet paper."
Ah, Scott, paper products.
Yes.
I can see not throwing rice, but so you can throw things as long as they're not edible?
Yes.
Okay. And what movie theater is this?
Well, they show them up at Neon Theater in Dayton and at Real Movies Incorporated downtown.
Man, you drive all the way to Dayton to see Rocky Horror?
Yes.
It's on video now, you know.
I know, but if you watch it on video, you're considered a video slut.
Ah, I could have told you that, Rob.
Oh, a video.
Set us straight. Yeah, you don't want to be a video slut.
No, that's kind of rude.
How many times have you seen it?
Over 100.
How many times have you seen a comet smack into Jupiter? I guarantee none. So what's more important, July 16th? Keep looking up.
Huh?
Keep looking up.
Oh, God.
Trixie, what else does your life amount to besides being a big fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Excuse me?
What else do you do besides watch Rocky Horror?
Go to work.
Where do you work?
I work at a fast food restaurant.
Which one?
McDonald's.
Where at?
I think it's on Coleraine.
By the mall?
Yes.
I've been to that one. That's one of those nice ones with the playground and everything.
Yes. I like that one.
That's one of those nice McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, does it have an alternative scheme, color scheme?
Yes.
So it's kind of done in mauve and powder blues and in
yellow.
Those
burning
purple.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, give me some of those big giant McDonald's fries. I had some of those the other day. They're huge. This is boring. We'll talk to you later, Trixie.
Okay, bye.
It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. I made it boring. She was really interesting. Then I made it boring.
Yeah, because all you want to talk about is food.
Fries.
Yeah.
Not just any food. Fries.
Trevor, you're on the air with
Chris. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what up,
Isn't Trevor? Tonight the solstice?
Yeah, tonight is the solstice.
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Happy solstice to you, Trevor.
Thank you. Happy solstice to you, too.
I think I'll be turned into a toad later.
Oh, no. That would be terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's not even summer yet. It's been absolutely miserable.
I love this weather. I think this weather's great.
What do you mean anything? How can it be great? You like to run around nudie?
When I get a fish sandwich, I usually get a little tartar solstice on it.
It's just nice being hot. Yeah, better than the winter. I like this weather more than I like the winter.
What are you doing up this late, Trevor?
Nothing. Just trying to stay up.
Just celebrating the solstice, huh?
I guess you could say that.
Summer has started. Finally.
Yep.
After a month of 90
days. First day of summer.
Trevor, what is a guy like you do to celebrate the solstice?
I smoke cigarettes.
That's always healthy.
Yeah, I stay up late. I listen to the radio. I drink water.
You don't smoke?
I clean my apartment today.
Do you smoke light cigarettes or regular?
I smoke Newports.
Newport Lights or
anything menthol.
You got an opinion on the Reds hiring a guy who's got a broken leg?
No, I think it's good. I think that's great.
Hire a handicap.
Yeah, hire the handicap, Jim says.
Pretty soon they're going to call him the Cincinnati Braves.
Yeah, have another Newport there, pal. Yeah, give one right now.
Yeah, the Reds. I haven't been keeping up on the Reds.
Yeah,
I feel kind of bad about that.
They're in first place, I think, now.
You've got World Cup fever. You haven't been able to turn it off.
Yeah.
I was in a bar / restaurant earlier today. Spain versus Germany.
Uh-huh.
Who gives a big, fat Newport rat's ass?
Yeah.
The people in this bar were going absolutely berserk. Every shot on goal, they screamed. Then Spain made a really good shot, and it was ear-splitting in there. Everybody's so excited. Then these other guys came in a little bit late, and they joined this couple of dudes sitting there. And they're like, hey, Spain just scored. No way. Against Germany? No way. Yeah, they did. Spain scored. They were all excited.
Trevor, you got a favorite quotation that inspires your life and your day-to-day way of being?
The Serenity Prayer.
How's that go? Lay a little bit of us on.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
What'd you do? Did you get that on a potholder at Walmart or something?
No, I'm in AA, and I go to AA every day, and like.
Well, you're not anonymous, then, are you, Trevor?
No, I bet. This month I've been in AA for 6 years.
Congratulations, one
Thank
day at
you.
A time. So we're
exactly.
going. Yeah, you listen to the show Easy Does It?
Yeah, I sure do.
What do you think of that Bill Wilson guy?
Bill Wilson, yeah, he's great.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're hip. What else? What else you want to talk about, Trevor?
The Warehouse.
Which warehouse?
Raven?
Downtown, on Raven? Vine.
Oh, you mean Rave-On, buddy?
What do you mean?
You don't drink anymore, but when you go Raven, do you do ecstasy?
Ecstasy? What's ecstasy?
Do you do smart drinks?
Ecstasy. I drink Coca-Cola.
Well,
that's about it.
So you don't drink those high vitamin things for like $8 a shot?
No,
I increase your SATs by 30 points?
If somebody turned me on to it, I probably would.
Well, man, try a dumb drink.
Yeah.
Cool. So what else is sticking in your craw, Trevor, or should we move on?
I don't know. I'd like to stop smoking.
I'd like for you to stop smoking.
I thought it was a requirement if you joined AA, you had to drink a lot of coffee and smoke as many cigarettes as you could stand.
Well, the longest I've been without nicotine is 5-6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, my boss at work did that patch deal, and it worked. He hasn't smoked in over a year. I think one of his buddies who was kind of close to him died from cancer, and the guy was only in his mid-40s. And so my boss, who was like in his mid-30s, took a step back. He says, I got two kids. I got a wife. I can't afford to be checking out before I'm 50 or so. And he got the patch, and he quit smoking. And
yeah.
We have some coworkers who smoke, and they smoke in front of him.
So you think it works, huh?
It worked for him, but he really wanted to quit, and I think that's a big part of it. But he had the patch, and it worked. His doctor prescribed it. And
yeah, my case manager wants me to try that patch thing, but I don't know.
Might work, it might not.
Might not, yeah.
Can you afford not to try it?
I don't know, actually.
I'm going to tell your dad I said that. See if he needs some help up there in the office.
Okay, gotcha.
Can you afford not to try the patch?
Hold on, okay?
Yeah, okay, you're getting some little reverb. That's like that old coil type reverb.
Right, I got one more question for him, then I want to play this brand new song.
When are you going to tell your new joke?
What new joke?
All right, I'm back.
Cleveland, too.
Oh, that's a stupid joke. Hey, Trevor!
What?
What part of town are you calling from tonight?
Westwood.
Westwood?
Yes.
Have you ever been to the Westwood Bowl?
Westwood Bowl. Down there by, I think I know what you're talking about. Down up by Western Woods Mall?
It's on Glenway Avenue.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Near Doc Holliday's?
Yeah, that's a great place to go bowling.
Yeah. Never been down there. I've been down there a couple times just to hang out.
Have you ever seen Milt?
Who?
Milt.
Who's Milt?
Milt works the night shift there.
Don't know him.
Should we give him a call?
Sure.
All right, let's call him.
Milt's a good guy.
Bye.
Bye.
Later, Trev. Guy named Trevor. You don't see a lot of American guys named Trevor. But there's a lot of guys named Trevor in that World Cup. Although England didn't make it. Your favorite country didn't make the World Cup, Jim. England didn't make it this year.
They suck.
You know, somebody wrote a letter to the Sporting News, said that soccer is only played in most parts of the world because everybody's poor and they can't afford real sports. Then I watched those guys play soccer. I thought, no, this is a real sport.
Okay, we're calling the
baseball
West,
and football,
Western
basketball
Bowl
still
on Glenway Avenue.
Sports, but you don't. You need a ball, or like they used to play with in the old days, a human skull. But it's a real sport. Those guys are amazing athletes, and they do some amazing stuff with
good
that
evening,
ball.
Western Ball.
Hi, is this Western Ball?
Yes.
Is this Milt?
No, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Now, usually Milt answers the phone. Where's Milt tonight?
He just walked back in.
Well, let's talk to you for a minute, Steve.
I'll tell you, he's told me a lot about you two guys.
Oh, he has?
We've been listening and haven't heard you on the air here.
Like what? What has he told you about us guys?
Well, he just told me some of the things you've asked him in the past.
Like what?
Oh, let's see. If he could be a drink, what kind of drink would he be?
Well, what kind of drink would you be, Steve?
Well, I would probably be a Bud Light. That way I could at least be popular.
Was that a strike or a spare I just heard behind you?
It looks like a miss.
A mess. Is a lot of bowling going on at the Western Bowl tonight?
Not too much right now. Just a couple pairs going.
How do you guys usually do overnights with that all-night bowl? All you can bowl all night long.
Oh, they usually have about 20 lanes going till about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Is the grill open?
All open bowling.
Is the grill open?
No. No, it's closed.
Why would you want to bowl if you can't go to the grill?
probably because there's nothing else to do.
Can you bring in your own food? Like if a guy brought in a bucket of KFC, would that be all right since the grill's not open?
Well, sure.
What if they brought in some no anchovies pizza?
Well, we'd have to throw the anchovies out and eat the pizza.
Well, All right. Well, Steve, are there any quotations that have had an impact on your life? Maybe a saying or something from literature or a poem that you would like to share with our listening audience?
Well, yeah, there is something a person told me one time that had that changed my life, actually. And what? It was that you can live your life with someone, but you can't live it for them.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. I got something to lay on you.
Did Lionel Richie say that?
No, my mother actually said it.
I got kind of a related idea to lay on you.
Okay.
Even good friends get cold at night.
Yes, I believe that.
I got it. Here's a good one for you, Steve. You can use this one. You might want to put this one up on your wall.
Okay.
Life is like bowling, because you just knock down the pins once, but then you got to get up and do it all again and again.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Steve, you're a fine bowling kind of guy.
Have fun with the best game you ever bowled.
What's the best game you've ever bowled, Steve?
269.
And what was Milt's? I think Milt's wasn't close to that.
He probably hit 130.
He's ragging on Milt when Milt's not around.
No one's looking at me wanting the phone.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
You want to talk to him?
No,
we got to move on. We got to do some commercials.
Okay, well, listen, it was a real pleasure talking to you.
Okay. Crack open a Bud Light.
Okay.
But don't, if Trevor comes in there, don't sell him one.
Okay, I won't.
Good.
Take care.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Rob, introduce this next song, and then we'll take a break. The phone number is 749-1444, 749-1444. We're taking your calls till 5.
Wait. Title track from the new Melonhead record, Dance Naked.
Hello, love children. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
And I'll tell you something, baby, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Thanks for joining us on our mystical, magical ride into the nighttime sky.
Because if it wasn't for you, baby, no one would be tuned in. We'd be all alone.
It'd be the sound of one hand clapping, the sound of one lip kissing.
It'd sound like this. So we're kind of glad you're here. Hello, Liza, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Liza.
How are you?
What can we do for you tonight?
Oh, do you like no anchovies pizza?
Love it.
No anchovies pizza is the best in the Queen City.
Can't say best.
You don't know what various organisms dwell in there, do you?
Yeah, well, anchovies and what are some of those other things?
Aster.
DDT.
DDT, Raid, Black Flag, I'm sure all of it's... it's Fine Pie there on Ludlow Street, next to the Dirty Movie Theater, No Anchovies Pizza.
Not the Dirty Movie Theater.
It is, too. They show those movies where, like, 10-year-old girls run around naked. I mean, sure, it's not the Pink Pyramid or anything.
There's nothing dirty about 10-year-old girls.
Do what?
There's nothing dirty about 10-year-old girls.
They showed that movie where that little irritating bitch who's in those AT&T commercials...